Allez, c'est le bon temps roulé. Good morning. It is Fat Tuesday. We've been celebrating in Pensacola now for what, 2 months, 3 months?
We are always celebrating in Pensacola.
Good morning.
It's a great place to live.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. The number here, 850-437-1620. Tuesday, 9 o'clock. You know what that means? It's time for the Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins.
Here we are. I love the music, the Mardi Gras music. And just that brings something to mind.
Okay.
It's totally off-guarding. We'll get to that in just a minute.
That's never happened somebody before.
Somebody that deserves a pat on the back. That is the city of Pensacola.
Okay. What have they done?
Public Works is one department that really does. If you look back in the last 30 days, how they handle the snow and how they handle all the crowds at Mardi Gras.
Unbelievable.
It was safe. Mm-hmm. It was organized. And they were on top of all of that. Police, fire.
Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm. Everybody just did a wonderful job. And people had a great time. And as I say, they were safe and happy. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I think they deserve a big pat on the back.
Kudos. Congratulations to everybody involved. Because you're absolutely right. Gorgeous weather. Great crowd. Everybody did. It was nothing to report that was negative.
Right.
Just wonderful.
We on the Garden Line were in charge of the weather.
Right.
And we did a great job.
Yes, we did. You ordered it special just for Mardi Gras.
We did. Absolutely. Now that Mardi Gras is over, the weather's heading south.
Right. It's very weird out this morning.
It's going to be windy. It'll be very, very
windy. Yes, it's very windy. Definitely feels like a storm's a-coming.
Gale warnings. I'm looking right here on the radar.
Mm-hmm. It's not looking too good. So
I don't think it's going to last too long, but it's...
You've got some gardening to do. You need to do it now, right?
Yes. Yeah, get out there this morning and get going with it. No doubt about it. But anyway, yes, it's springtime. And so we have so much to talk about on the Garden Line. And, of course, we encourage all the Texans to answer your questions. We would love to try.
Yeah, just text in your questions to Mike on the Garden Line this morning, anytime, 850-437-1620. We'll be here for the whole hour, so you've got time to look at your garden, see what you need. Maybe have a question about, I'm learning a lot about pre-emergence fertilizers.
Oh, we can talk about that, but so many even other things to talk about. But what we did last week, if you remember, we talked about trees.
Mm-hmm.
All the Pensacola trees, from magnolias to red maples, river birches, all of that. And that was great because it is now time to plant those trees. We ran out of time to talk about some fruit trees that do very well here in Pensacola. And that's a very important thing you need to know about those fruit trees, how to plant them, and how they have to relate to the weather we have here. Because there's some fruit trees that do well, some that do not. And that's many times it's related to a term we call chill hours. Chill hours. If you go to Publix and you want to buy one of those pretty red apples, you say, I want to grow some of these. You probably aren't going to grow that variety here in Pensacola because of our lack of chill hours.
Oh, that's interesting. Our temperatures aren't cool enough, long enough.
Exactly. Here's what chill hours are. Chill hours are weather where we have temperature range between 32 and 45. In Pensacola, we normally have between 500 and 700 chill hours in Pensacola. Now, that 500 to 700 chill hours are those hours we have that fall in that 32 to 45 degree range. But if during the time, the winter, and we have warmer weather, we'll subtract from the number of chill hours that we have. Now, I looked it up. Miami has zero chill hours.
Oh, well, big surprise there.
Orlando only has about 300 chill hours.
But that's more than I even thought they would have.
I agree with you. But here we are at 500 to 700 chill hours.
Okay, really?
Many of the plants, let's say like a big red apple, need well over 1,000 chill hours.
That's why they do so well in the state of Washington.
Exactly. But there are varieties. Let's go back to the apples.
Mm-hmm.
There are varieties that will do very well here. They are Dorset. It's called Dorset Golden. It's a yellow apple.
Hmm.
There's an Anna apple, which is a red apple. And there's a one called Tropic Sweet Apple. Those are the three that the state kind of recommends for our area with the amount of chill hours we have. There's one they don't mention, though, and that's an Einsheimer apple, which some people call an Israeli apple because it was propagated and developed in Israel.
Huh.
So those,
I've never heard of those.
Those four, Dorset, Anna, Tropic Sweet, and Einsheimer, are what you want to look for if you want to plant an apple tree. Now, I think most of your local garden centers are probably not going to sell anything except these.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out if you're going to, say, a big box store who has a container that has apple tree. So be careful and ask the question.
Okay.
What is the variety and what is the chill hour requirement?
Okay, and give us those four again, so if someone's writing them down.
Dorset apple.
Dorset apple.
Dorset golden is another name for it.
Okay.
Anna.
Is that a red apple? Is that
yes,
a red?
That's okay. A red one. Kind of a blush pink.
Mm-hmm.
Tropic Sweet, and then Einsheimer. Einsheimer.
Okay.
I think.
Close enough.
I went to Florida State, remember? I don't spell too well.
No comment.
You guys from Georgia, y'all did great. Y'all can spell anything.
Yeah, that's how we are in Georgia.
I know. Anyway, that's the story on fruit trees and apple trees. Now, you've got peaches, plums, and nectarines, which are good fruit trees all. And they also require chilling hours.
Okay.
You need to check and see what the chilling hours are if you're going to buy a peach tree, a plum tree, or a nectarine. However, they are affected by the hot weather, too.
Okay.
So if you're going to buy one of these, you need to check what the restrictions are insofar as the high temperatures, but also have the chilling hours. So that's things you need to check if you're going to buy a fruit tree.
Do they record hot hours versus chill hours?
I don't know if they record it. I think once you get into the July and August, it's going to get hot. But here are the ones you can grow that should fit into the category.
All right.
One is Florada, Florada, Gulf, Sun, and UF series. I'm sure that's University of Florida series. So in any event, so you have to pay a lot of attention if you're going to go buy a peach, a plum, or a nectarine. How about figs?
I used to have a fig tree in my backyard. It used to just do really well.
Exactly.
With very little maintenance, as
they
I recall.
Very well here.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that most people have and enjoy is called a brown turkey fig. Okay? There's a Celeste, which is good too, but brown turkey is good. I always, when we talk about fig trees, loved what some of the older, I shouldn't say older farmers, that's probably not correct. Let's say the senior farmers went by. If you plant a fig tree, it will do so much better if it's planted next to a building or a garage or a barn.
Interesting, because mine was right near a big fence.
Exactly, because the roots, as they say, the shaded roots do well. And one thing that doesn't do well with figs, especially figs, if you're using a weed and feed fertilizer, which, as you know, here we do not recommend on the garden line, be very, very careful you don't get it underneath a fig tree where the roots can absorb it. It'll just either kill it or make those leaves just get mottled and ugly. So just keep the weed and feed fertilizer, if you're using it, please don't, away from a fig tree.
So. All right. So we're listening to Pep Talk, The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. If you've got a question for Mike, we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to talk more about fig trees and citrus trees and all the things you need to get ready for your summer garden. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Mike, we got a quick text here right during the break, and she says she's wanted to know, she didn't know if we'd cover this or not, but in talking about apples, she loves red, delicious apples. Can you grow those here?
No, don't we all? No. It's the answer to that question.
Nope.
That's usually the red apple you'll buy, say, at the grocery store.
Right.
But it takes well over 1,000 chill hours.
Ooh,
and remember, we are only in the 700 range here, so they really aren't going to do good. If you want that red apple, plant that Anna apple or okay. that Einsheimer apple. And it's not going to be quite the red quality that you get from a Red Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be good.
It'll be close.
And it'll work.
Okay.
Try to plant a Red Delicious here. It probably isn't going to work.
Okay.
And what's the other one that so many people like? Honeycrisp, as I was saying that.
Something. Yeah, that's the one.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one you wish would grow here.
Mm-hmm.
But no dice.
Okay.
Not going to do it.
All right, with springtime, sir, what's next?
Well, here's what we ought to do. Let's talk a little bit about lawns.
Oh, good.
What to do with your lawn.
Okay.
And lawn selection. If you, for example, either have a new home or your lawn is just gone, what lawn, what should you do to replace it? What variety of grass should you put into your lawn? Well, let's talk about that, but let's talk about one other thing about lawns first, because this is very timely, and if I don't say it, I wish I had. This time of year, we all get really excited about getting the lawn to grow, to get going, turn green. So we fertilize it,
mm-hmm.
and we do it too early.
Oh.
Do it too early. This is one of those things.
What's too early?
Now. Now is too early.
Okay.
Yeah. All the experts will tell you, and this is hard to do. It's hard for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
To wait till May.
Ooh.
To fertilize your lawn.
Gosh, that seems late.
It does seem late. I don't wait that long. Mm-hmm. I'll do it in April, and I'll use a 16-08 or a 16-48 if I can find it, because here we are. In the fall, Meg, we talked about all that winterizer, and we talked about how important a fertilizer formula was. It has three numbers. Nitrogen is the first one. Phosphorus is the second one. Phosphate is the second one. And third one is potash.
Mm-hmm.
And for the winter, we put potash concentrated on that number. So you bought a fertilizer like 10-5-14. That 14 was the big number in the fertilizer formula. Okay. Now, springtime, totally the opposite. We use the 16-08, maybe a 22-4-4.
Oh, that's interesting.
But it's okay. Got to be a high number on that nitrogen, the first number on the fertilizer. But that's not all you need for fertilizer for lawn in the spring. It needs to be the right formula, but it also needs to contain iron, needs to contain minor elements like magnesium and that type of thing. And they aren't minor. They just aren't very much. They didn't much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just as important. And it needs to be a good granular fertilizer. Now, you put all that together, and you're probably going to have to spend a little extra money. But it's worth it. Because especially with that slow release, you have that fertilizer with slow release, it's going to feed that lawn as you get into the summer. So be sure it has all of those qualities. And look at the label. Do your arithmetic insofar as how much that bag of fertilizer should cover. Generally, one bag of fertilizer for the lawn will cover 5,000 square feet. Now, how much is that? Most of us that have a medium-sized front yard is about 5,000 square feet, sometimes a little bit less. You don't want to overdo it, but you don't want to put it on too thin either. So do your arithmetic. Figure your square footage, and then buy the fertilizer in the right amount. That's really, really important. So that's what we need to do. But what the message here is kind of cool it, kind of wait just a little bit longer, and let's shoot for, say, mid-April,
mm-hmm.
Late April to fertilize the lawn, because we want to be able to have that lawn turf warm enough to mm-hmm. accept the fertilizer, to bring it up into the roots, get it up into the blades of grass. If you do it too early sometimes, you'll end up with big yellow, canary yellow spots in your yard, which will generally correct themselves, but there's no sense in doing that if you don't have to. So wait just a little bit longer.
Okay.
Now it's time. You're going to sod your lawn.
All right.
What grass do you want to plant?
I don't know.
You
And on that note, we have to take a break.
Oh,
real quick. We're going to take a break real quick. So the question is, what sod
do you want to plant to put in your yard? What kind of grass do you want in your yard?
All right, we're going to stop at that question. We'll have the answer for you right after the break. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. You got a question for Mike? 850-437-1620. We'll have that answer for you shortly.
A little bit of stupidity.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with Meg and Mike on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. As you could tell, we were in mid-conversation. A little bit of stupidity, he was saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the question was, sir, about sod, yes?
Yeah, we were talking about if you're going to sod your yard, and not all of it, if you're going to sod a portion of your yard, what variety of sod do you want to pick? What are the advantages and disadvantages of the different grasses that will grow here in Pensacola? Now, here's what we'll do. Let's say what you don't want to plant, period.
Okay.
Because I'm going to say this. Sometimes if you go to some of your big box stores, and you'll see there's a whole rack of grass seed. It'll grow anywhere, in the shade, no maintenance, green year-round. I'm stretching. That's not the total truth. But the point is, it's not for us. Many times it'll be a combination of annual bluegrass, mm-hmm. fescue, which are northern grasses, great lawns, but they're for the north. And so you got to be so careful that what you buy is for us. And that's what we're going to talk about as we move forward. And we might as well, let's talk about the first one.
Okay.
About the first one. Okay. And that's St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did a little research with our friends at Werner Turf.
Oh, good.
And Werner Turf is a garden center, a great garden center, one of our great. There are many of them here in Pensacola. Great garden center, but they really have a big business in sod, selling sod. Okay. So we're going to have just a minute or so here. We'll talk about the first one, and that's St. Augustine.
And that's one of the most popular, yes, for
one
this
of the
area?
Most popular,
because I see
over
that a
the
lot.
Years has been one of the most popular. And there have been different varieties over the years. If you go way back, and many of our listeners will probably relate to this, the only kind anybody ever wanted to plant was called Bitter Blue St. Augustine.
Hmm.
You could sod it, you could sprig it, you could do whatever you wanted to do. It was a great variety. Then we went to Raleigh St. Augustine. Then there was one called Floritam St. Augustine, which was developed by University of Florida and Texas A&M, hence Floritam. So those are some of the varieties of St. Augustine, and there are advantages to all of them, and there are disadvantages to all of them. One of the advantages of what I call, and what is available now, classic St. Augustine, is that it just has a beautiful color. You mow it high, and to me, I know this is going to sound like a silly comment, it's kind of Pensacola.
Mm.
You know, St. Augustine is kind of a grass that you would love to have in Pensacola. Couple of disadvantages, and all the grasses we're going to talk about have one big disadvantage, no matter what the literature says. I don't believe. None of them like to grow in the shade.
Mm.
St. Augustine has a reputation of being a grass for the shade. And you look at some yards, it has beautiful St. Augustine, and it has shade trees. Many times, that grass has kind of grown up with the tree and acclimated itself. But if you've got dense shade, and you're going to try to grow St. Augustine by sod, you're probably going to have some trouble. So when we get back from the break, let's talk a little bit more about that.
All right. You're listening to Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. 850-437-1620. Still time to get your questions in. We'll be back right after the news on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
At Tuesday, it's carnival time, and honey, I'm doing fine.
Fat Tuesday on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, with Meg, with our host today on the Garden Line, Mike Wiggins. Got questions for Mike? We are talking about sod and grasses and springtime and getting ready. So you're just going to have to forget about Fat Tuesday and think about your yard and your lawn.
Well,
and if you've got a question, 850-437-1620.
We can't totally quit. I mean, Meg, you've got Mardi Gras in your soul.
Well, you know, I've been influenced a little bit in the last weekend. Hey, I mean,
you know, sometimes we need diversion to get our minds off some of the other things that bother us. So, in any event, let's talk about classic St. Augustine.
Okay.
Okay.
That's so you mentioned two already.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Classic and Florite. We're going to talk about classic first.
Okay.
That is the traditional St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
You used to be able to buy the Bitter Blue we talked about and the Raleigh and all that, and it was what we called certified. And I'm going way back in time on where you could name your variety. But nowadays, classic is probably a combination of them all, mm-hmm. you know, insofar as propagating this variety of grass. But it's a good grass. It's a good grass. It's one of my favorites. However, one, it's not going to be able to put in, as we said earlier, into dense shade. But if you really want St. Augustine, say you've got an oak tree or a maple tree, do some pruning. Get as much light into the area in which you're going to put the sod that you can.
Mm-hmm.
That is critical. And as we get into other varieties in just a minute, one reason St. Augustine has lost some of its popularity is because of various problems that it has incurred. It's always had a little bit. It's always had a fungus problem. But it seems in the last, I'm going to say 5-6 years, the Rhizoctonia brown patch fungus has been horrible affecting St. Augustine. And a lot of people have fought it. They've sprayed it. They've replaced certain sections of their yard. And a lot of people have said, no more. I'm going to put another variety of grass in my yard, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So that's the deal with classic. It's a great St. Augustine. You've got to be careful. Oh, one other thing is that it is the one grass that is affected by chinch bugs and sod webworms in the mid to late summer.
Mm, okay.
They can really do a number on that grass. And those varmints and disease don't really affect some of the other grasses nearly as bad. So anyway, it's a great grass, but it does have some problems, and that's why people have changed. Now let's real quick on the Floritam. Floritam came out, just like we talked about a minute ago, years and years and decades ago, and it was the miracle grass. This is going to be just what we need in Northwest Florida. It's not affected by the cold. It's not affected by the shade. It's not affected by disease.
Wow.
All wrong.
Oh, dear, okay.
All wrong.
Oh, I was real impressed, but
yeah,
okay.
I found over the years, especially at the beginning, that mm-hmm. Floritam was affected by the cold. Like, I think the cold we had, the snow, for example.
Right.
I believe it might affect Floritam more than the classic. But insofar as shade tolerance, I don't think it has very much at all.
Mm.
I'd be very careful about putting in a Floritam lawn if you've got a lot of shade. I really would. But they're available. They're beautiful grasses when they are thriving. And it's just a shame that we've had the problem with those varieties of St. Augustine grass. So you've got to put in a lawn. You're not going to put in St. Augustine. You've kind of weighed the advantages and disadvantages. What grass do you plant? We've got a couple of choices. One, the one that has gained so much in popularity, and we've talked about this on the show many times, is Zoysia.
Mm-hmm.
A great variety of Zoysia that's available is called Palisades, Georgia. Zoysia. I said Georgia.
That's my influence.
You always remind me of that. Anyway, Zoysia grass. Palisades. Thin-bladed grass.
Mm-hmm.
You mow it much closer than you do St. Augustine. Doesn't seem to have the fungus problems that St. Augustine has. It'll get a little bit, but it's not quite as bad. And the chinch bug, sod webworms, generally not a problem. And it's not a shade grass either. All of them are sun grasses. You put it in the pure sun, and Zoysia, when it's looking good in the summer and you fertilized it, is a beautiful, beautiful lawn. It looks like a golf green.
Mm.
And so many people have planted it. And I think back in the day, there was some question, well, zoysia might not do well because we do have a lot of shade in Pensacola and have these diseases and such. Well, it really hasn't turned out that way. It's turned out to be a great choice of a lawn grass. So you may want to consider that. One quick thing that you might want to consider, price. I think zoysia might cost you a little more than St. Augustine or even what we're going to talk about in a minute, centipede grass. So,
and how important is the brand that you buy? Is it better than the other that you think?
Well, I think there are. There's an Emerald Zoysia. There's a Palisades. Mm-hmm. I think you need to go with a tried and true variety. I think Palisades would be a good choice.
Okay, got a quick question for you on the text line here, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk with the Garden Line and Mike Wiggins. So the question is, how do you get rid grass of webworm?
Of webworms in your lawn?
Yes.
Well, you should not have any now.
Okay.
That really is a mid to late summer situation. They're relatively easy to control with insecticide if you just do it. A spectracide granular that's labeled for insects or a spray will generally do it. But the thing is, if you've got webworms in your lawn, you need to treat it quickly because they can start out in a little spot and the next morning you go out and it's progressed.
Oh, no.
But when you kill them or take care of them, control them, it's one of those problems whereas your lawn will recover. If you've got chinch bugs, sometimes a bad case of that will kill your lawn. The sod webworms will eat the blades. They don't eat the roots. And so if you can get rid of them, that grass will come back.
Okay, great question. And if you have a question for Mike, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Think about those questions. We've got plenty more to talk about, and we'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and The Garden Line with our host, Mike Wiggins. Mike, we've got a call from Pete in Gulf Breeze. Got a couple questions for you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pete. Good morning.
Hey, Pete. Good morning to you.
Hey, how you been?
Doing great, thanks.
Enjoying this weather. I've got two questions. One is, have pecan trees bloomed yet?
No. I appreciate the question because, I mean, if some people listening may not know, Pete, what we're talking about is I always gauge when the last freeze is happening or is not going to happen by the pecan trees on I-110, right north of downtown on the east side. And when they start putting out new growth, hey, no freezes are coming. But, Pete, I'll tell you this real quick while I've got you. This morning, I looked at the long range in March, what the temperatures were going to be. There was one day, about the 19th, where it said we might be 37 degrees.
Oh, goodness, not
but,
again.
I know. But that's there should be no frost, no freeze there. So I think we're looking pretty good. I didn't see any below 32 in that long range. So those trees should be coming out soon. Well, thanks. Great question, Pete. Thank you.
And you said you had another one for him, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, I was dialing in when you were talking about the zoysia grass.
Yes.
And so I didn't catch all of it, but I've replaced most of my yard with the Palisades. And I love the zoysia. It does real well. But I have an area in my backyard that's pretty shady. Will that Palisades live in the shade?
Well, I'll tell you, the literature will tell you that Palisades zoysia has high, not perfect, high shade tolerance. So what you may have is, it might grow. It might be all right, but I would wager if it's dense shade or even semi-dense shade, you may follow the old rule we have with growing grass in the shade. If you've got 50% grass, you're going to have 50% or 50% shade, you're going to have 50% grass. 70% shade, 30. Anyway, you see the ratio there. So, I think it probably would be as good a choice as any. Now, you may, go back to the old school and try some St. Augustine in there. But I think your zoysia, you've had so much luck with that Palisade zoysia, I'd be tempted to try it. But please get as much sun as you can by pruning out those trees. Do the best that you can, because you put zoysia or St. Augustine in a shady area, that's just not the perfect environment.
Well, the only problem I've got, they're about 50 or 60 foot tall oak trees.
Yeah, oh no, you're absolutely right, yeah.
So it's kind of, yeah, kind of hard to get up there and prune them, but.
Oh no, you can do it. You can get that done with a pre-surgeon. You might cost you a fortune. But yeah. Pete, let me tell you this. I'll say this to so many of my listeners. I need you real bad. Don't you get up on a ladder and try to do that. We just don't want to do that. Be careful.
Wait a minute. I'm only 82. I can still get out of the ladder.
Oh, gosh. Be careful, Pete.
How old are you, Pete?
82, he said.
82.
Do you know how close we are together, Pete?
Okay, you two need to go have coffee.
I know exactly.
Have a coffee date.
I don't know if you realize, but I've known you a long time.
So been around a long time.
Oh, bless your heart.
But we got to be careful, Pete, on those ladders. No doubt about it.
Listen, Pete, thank you so much for calling in this morning. We sure do appreciate you.
Yeah, Pete, call us in again. We appreciate it.
All right. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, 850-437-1620. Text in, and you can text in your questions and comments, talking about grasses and sods. And I think you had a couple more on your list there, Mr.
Wiggins. Yeah, and I'm going to go back to the St. Augustine and the zoysia.
Okay.
And talk about that. Then I want to go to some other varieties, which really will fit the same thing. But I think we need to say it before we show ends. And that's insofar as installing the sod. And we're not going to have time today to talk about everything you need to do to get that area ready for sod. We'll do that next week. But one thing I wanted to mention, because I'm not a big fan of this, you'll see some people will put in plugs. You buy the tray of, say, classic St. Augustine, or you buy the tray of Palisade zoysia that's got little plugs in different sections of the tray, and you put them in your yard, just like you were putting in the sod. Now, the problem is, I have found they take a lot of maintenance, a lot of water. You've really got to water them a little extra, especially at first, but really even long term. And when you read some of the literature, it will tell you, okay, let's put these plugs in every, on 12-inch centers. In other words, each plug is 12 inches from each other. That is much too far apart, especially with zoysia, because zoysia, quite frankly, is a very slow-growing grass insofar as the stolons are concerned. So you want to put them closer together. I'd go for zoysia even 5 inches apart. Put them 5-6 inches apart, and still you're going to have to fight the weeds between the plugs that you put in. So plugging with those trays of plugs, it can be done, especially if you've got a real small area, but it's just not my favorite way to install grass.
Okay, we got another question on the Pep Talk text line here. What is the best grass seeds for shaded front yard?
Well, that kind of goes to what we've said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to almost say none.
Right.
But if you're gonna seed, here's what you can do. And this is one of the grasses we haven't talked about yet.
Okay.
It's a good time to do that. And that's centipede grass.
Oh, yes.
And seeding centipede is done by a lot of people and done very successfully here in Pensacola. Centipede grass is a native grass, if you will. For all these other grasses, and we haven't gotten to that yet, that's next week, you've got to put down some lime.
Mm-hmm.
Not with centipede, no lime whatsoever. It likes our acid soil. But centipede seed, if you look at it and you say, I'm not going to do that. It's too expensive. Well, you put a pound of it, which is about a handful, is about $25, $30. But it covers about 1,000 to 2,000 square feet. That's why if you're putting out centipede seed, you mix it with some white builder sand to give it some bulk. So when you put it out, it'll cover the area you need it to cover. And there are a lot of other hints. I think we've got to take a little break.
Yes, we do.
And then we'll come back. We'll try to finish up with that.
All right. Great question. 850-437-1620. You can send Mike a question for the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break. This is Pep Talk with the Garden Line, and Mike Wiggins had a call from Andy, who's asking about dollarweed.
Andy, dollarweed. Let me give you a quick answer, the real Cliff Notes version of what to do for dollarweed. Number one, be sure you have put out, if you haven't, do it now, your pre-emergence weed control. Dimension, atrazine, it's very, very good. Also, insofar as spraying the dollarweeds themselves, you need to wait until the grass is out of dormancy. You don't want to go spray them right now while the grass has not come out of dormancy. Use Trimec. That's a real good one. And I would say you could probably use that into mid-April or even into May. So those are the two things I would do. And I appreciate you calling. If I didn't get everything answered, Andy, call me next week and we'll talk about it some more.
All right. Got a couple quick announcements here. We heard from Catherine reminding us that the Camellia Show and Plant Sale is this Saturday, March 8th, at the Main Library from noon to 3. And then mark your calendar, because we also heard from Karen with the Pensacola Garden Clubs, and they're going to have a big event coming up. It's the annual tour of tables, and that's going to be next week, March 11th. Preview from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Garden Center. Tickets are $10. They're going to have hors d'oeuvres and decorations, and it's going to be a wonderful event. We'll tell you more about that next week, but you can find out about that, and that'll be at the Garden Center on March 11th. So just mark your calendars now.
Very good. And next week, we'll kind of continue our discussion on lawn choices, and we need to talk about how to install a lawn and maybe talk a little bit more about a few other varieties that are out there that have been used in Pensacola. So we can talk about that. Real quick, the plant sale that Catherine's talking about is great. Not only will the plants be for sale and they're container grown,
right,
which we all want because all the roots are in there, quality plants, and there'll be people there to tell you how to plant them, how to take care of them, how to enjoy them.
Oh, my goodness. We just had about 7 questions come in now. So many questions, so little time. We appreciate you texting in. Keep that question on hand for next week, and we'll do our best to get to it. We've been listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. You're always the best, Mike. So informative.
Oh, thank you, Meg.
Thank you so much for being here.